John took that Spirit of Christ into his heart, and because he did that, he came into the great revelational mind of God and into the great world of God. You follow me? Whereas, if you get it up here in your intellectual capacity, follow after it as it be of the letter, then Satan can get into that realm and he can cause a lot of trouble. But if there is something established between the church and Christ that will be an intimate relationship in the Spirit and a divine perception from one to another by holy discernment, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened to the place to where we can comprehend the heights, the depths, and the widths through the mind of Christ, then Satan is cast out of heaven because he doesn't have a lodging place anymore. You understand what I'm saying? It's a little deep, but I believe you understand. All right, that's the way God's going to eventually get rid of him. He can exist in the realms of the Word, but he can't exist when it comes into the mind of Christ. So then God is trying to do a great thing. Darkness cannot comprehend light. The Bible teaches that this is abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. The reason he put it like that is because if he had placed it in the realms of thinking, it would have been in the realms, it would have been in the reach of Satan. And Satan could have comprehended it. But darkness means intellectual reasoning, or Satan's tree of knowledge, you know. And God has put it abundantly above all that we can think. Therefore, darkness cannot comprehend this great light because it's above the rim of thinking. And darkness cannot excel the rim of thinking. How many understand what I'm saying? So darkness cannot comprehend light because it is elevated above the ability of the beast. So it has to be a revelation. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened that we might be able to comprehend the heights, depths, and the width. That is, in the mind of Christ, we can go beyond the realms of thinking as far as man's concerned, and we can get into that heavenly realm and we can comprehend it. Does that make sense to you? All right, that's exactly where we're living. There is a lot of things I'd like to say, so many things in the real depths of the Spirit, if I could get into them. But I'm going to try to talk with you just a little bit tonight if I can. And I want you to listen to me and try to help me. And if I say something that will be of interest to you or value to you in the Spirit, then I'll be happy. I just want to talk to you. A lot of times I talk with the brethren out of your presence. And a lot of great things come forth from the mind of Christ because I can sit down and talk with them. See, the Bible said, be still and know that I'm God. Or if you be still, then God will reveal himself. If a man can just come up and talk to you like Jesus, he'd take them away and sit down in a little boat and he'd begin to talk with them and teach them. Take them out onto the Mount of Beatitudes and sit down there and talk with them. While we were over in Israel, we ministered to the people through the Scriptures there on the Mount of Beatitudes. And Jesus would just sit down on the slopy green grass and there they'd feel the meadows and different things, and he'd just talk to them about the Word of God. So then a lot of times when I talk with the brethren, I talk with them about the Word of God and they just sit there and listen, and the Spirit of God may talk for hours. But when I get in here, I have to wrestle and struggle and holler and scream and try to get all the minds together like it was on the day of Pentecost, get them all in one mind and one accord. And by the time I do that, well, the babies has done got wore out and they're screaming and hollering, it's time to go home. So, if we could just learn to understand. I don't know just exactly what I'll say to you, but there's one thing for sure, if I can connect with your spirit. See, I get up here, it's like me and my wife. We don't have any fellowship unless her spirit will surrender to my spirit. Because my spirit ain't going to surrender to her spirit. Because I'm not called to surrender to her spirit. See, if I surrender to her spirit, I'm in perversion. That means that she's got the devil in her, and she's become that beast that's got control of me. If you surrender to your wife, she's a devil. You know, you make her one. You follow me? That's perversion. God doesn't want that. He wants the wife to surrender to you. How do you understand what I'm saying? You know, it looked pretty bad if Danny come in the morning and say, "Hey, woman, cook me some breakfast. I got to get out on the job." You understand what I'm saying? See, you ain't supposed to do that. That's Daddy's place to do that. Sissy, she comes in about 4 or 5 years old, and she said, "I got to wash the dishes and cook some breakfast." That's perversion. I know there's a lot of lazy mothers that put them up there, make them do it, you know. And they get so high, and that mother's so lazy, she won't wash the dishes, so she sticks Susie up on the top of a stool to where she just about fall off and break her neck and make her wash the dishes and change the diapers, and she just lounges around and does nothing. Couldn't hardly call that mama. That's just a woman in the family. But anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. It's the same way when I get up here, the Bible said it is not the minister that speaketh, but it is God that's speaking from within him. If God is speaking, then God isn't going to submit his spirit to you. Now, how do you think God ought to do that? In other words, God comes in, and so you say, "Okay, God, sit down in the corner over here. I want to tell you something." The Lord, he comes in, he said, "Well, I'd like to tell you something." I say, "Well, I'll sit down here and listen to you, but I ain't submitting to you. And submit to me if you want to." Now, somebody said, "Well, Brother Pike, I wouldn't dare do a thing like that." Some of you do it all the time. When you don't surrender your spirit, that's what you do. The Bible tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Come with humility. Come with love. Come with singing. Come with praises. Because, folks, he's God. We're just like a little old ant crawling across the earth. But he's God. So then, this is what I'm trying to get over to you. A lot of times I sit down and I talk to a brother. I sit down and I talk to that brother. Maybe there'll be 15 brothers come in and I won't talk to either one of them because I ain't got no fellowship with them. But way after a while, maybe there'll be one or two brothers that'll come in and they've got a sweet, wonderful spirit. They're hungering and thirsting for the things of God. They're not trying to reason things out. They're not resentful. They're not trying to weigh me in the balances and figure out what kind of hypocrite I am, you know, and what kind of deal I'm trying to cook up, as the world says. But they come in, they say, "This is my brother. I love my brother. I wonder if Brother Pike, the Lord spoke to him about me. I wonder if he's got anything good from the Lord today." And they come in and they sit down. We start talking, and a little while, our spirits get into a oneness. And our minds get into a oneness, because that's what your spirit is. When your minds get into a oneness. Then when we do that, we start talking about Jesus. Jesus comes right down the midst of us. And after a while, he'll talk and talk. And as long as you be reverent and sweet, he'll keep on talking. He might talk through me a while. He might talk through you a while. He might talk through somebody else. As long as you come in and out, you know, through the moving of the Spirit and the sweetness of the Spirit. But if you sitting there and every time God goes to say something, you got 15 things running around your mind you can't hardly wait to say, and every time the preacher goes to catch his breath, you break in, God ain't going to say nothing to you. That's right. He ain't going to do it. And if you think he is, you try it and see. He will not say anything to you because you're carnal-minded, you're at enmity with God, you're full of ambition and zeal like the Jews was, and God cannot do anything for you. You are there as the Bible said, giving the sacrifice of fools. That's what it amounts to. So when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, which is your opinions and your thoughts about things. Your thoughts is your spirit. It resists the Holy Spirit. Another thing, if you come in the church and you have no interest in God, and you sit there, you're like a dead person. You don't have any interest. You're just like a dead person. You're sitting there. The Bible said you've got to hunger and thirst after the things of God. You've got to want to know what's going on. And if you sit there and you're like a dead person, well, what can you give to a dead man? You pull his mouth open, take a spoon, say, "Here, take a bite." Could you imagine doing that? How would you love to set up with the dead? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, don't go to getting comical. I'm not getting comical. Have you ever set up with the dead? I have. Jesus said some folks are twice dead and plucked up by the root. God ain't going to set up with the dead. He said, let the dead bury the dead. I'm the God of the living. So then you're going to have to revive and get your mind on something. Come out of the hog pens like this prodigal son did and come over to God's house. The Father's house. Clean up. And then God will do something for you. I made the statement today. We're going to have to quit going around with our feelings on our shoulders. Melancholy like a bunch of babies. We're going to have to learn to be soldiers. Get up. There's something that needs to be done. Folks, how many of you know that? The world's in bad shape. The world's in bad shape. Did you know that's what makes a lot of hippies? The condition of the world. The condition that the world is in today. That's what's causing people to turn hippie. They feel like, what's the use of doing anything? We're under a bondage to the government. We're under a bondage to everything. What's the need of trying to do anything? If we make a salary, a half a dozen people get their hands into it. Are you listening? A half a dozen people has got their hands into it. You can't raise a pig and sell him without a half a dozen wanting to know, you know, who you're going to sell him to and why you're going to sell him and how much he's worth and how much they're going to get out of him, you know. You follow me? Like we dig a well out here, we pay for it. They send us papers out here and say that you got to send us a sample of it. And to send us a sample, you got to send us $7.50 to get the bags that we furnish to put the water in. It's the only kind we'll accept. You understand what I'm saying? See, you can't sell an automobile, you can't even as much as sell a pig without the Internal Revenue wanting to know about their part of it. You feed the pig, you raise the pig, you go to all the trouble, but when you go to sell the pig, he belongs to everybody but you. People go to school and college, they get an education, they struggle to try to have something, and then they find the government is constantly taking it away from them, and they've just come to the place, what's the use? Why work? Why do anything? Let's just be a bunch of freeloaders and just flop around anywhere we can and let the county take care of us. That's where you hippies come from. Good, sober-minded people that know what they're doing. Somebody said, well, old hippie, he don't know what he's doing. You just don't know how smart he is. You hip around with him a little while and you'll find out he's got a brain like a snake. That's right, smart, sharp, slick, he knows what he's doing. He feels like if they slicked him out of everything he's got, he's going to slick somebody out of something too. So they just group up together and they know that the law can't do nothing with them. That really brings something to mind. Somebody said, well, the law can handle them. I know a case I heard of not too long ago. I'm not trying to be comical. Just want to tell you the truth and get a point over. It's like Brother Willie when he was hipping around. Brother Willie, some of you know him. He's not like that now, but he said that him and some more hippies got up under a house in Atlanta, Georgia. Just stayed there and lounged around and got to stinking so that it was terrible for days. And because it caused a conglomeration of a mess, and they got the law out there, but the law couldn't stand it. Said they went under there to get them, but they couldn't stand it. So they just got out and left them alone. Yeah, you see what I'm talking about? That's the kind of a world we're living in. So then the youth has decided, well, forget about it. If they're the ones that's going to have it, if I'm going to raise a pig, so to speak, and they're going to get a cut out of it in everything I go to do, well, why not let them feed the pig? Just let them have the pig. Let them pay the feed bill. You know, automobiles and tags and taxes and insurance and this and that and I don't know what all. But the reason that God has done that is because the people of the world have got their minds so much on the natural things of life until they have completely left God out of the picture. And God can't even talk with them anymore. And God can't fellowship them. And God can't bless them with anything because they get their minds on the natural goods and forget about God. He told them when they went into Canaan land, said, you'll do that. So then God has to let the world and the parasites come upon them, take everything they got or get control of it to make it lose its appeal to them, that they may get interested in God. Something that the devil can't get his hands on. How many understand what I'm saying? The people bring it on themselves. Are you following me? So the hippies are the people of the world, not only hippies, but everybody. They say, why not just quit? So they quit. And when the people of the world quit, lost interest, and the whole government began to cave in. Everything is caving in. You follow me? There was a crisis. Nobody works. Nobody plants any seed in the field. Well, you can't get a harvest. Somebody's got to plow. Somebody's got to plant it. Somebody's got to reap if somebody's going to eat. So the planter, the plower, the reaper has just got worn out with people sitting in Washington and everywhere else eating while they do the plowing and the planting. They're tired of paying people salaries to sit around and do nothing. Are you following me? So they decide to join the crowd. Now, I don't see where that helps the situation, do you? Joining up with the wrong, I don't see where that helps the situation. I think what we need to do, instead of stopping and just lounging around and being no good to God and no good to ourselves and no good to anybody, carrying our feelings around on our shoulders, being a melancholy bunch of babies, we need to rise up and be sons of God, daughters of God, and rise up and do something for God. And go out there and take a whip like Jesus did and run the devils and demons and parasites off and take the world over, take the kingdoms of the world and establish a government of God that'll do some good for the people. That's the way I see it. Jesus was our example. So I believe that if we'll get up and be about our Father's business, get together and love one another, and let those people know that we mean business, they'll get out of our way, folks. As long as you just stand there and let them do it, they're going to do it. Did you know that? As long as a big, fat, lazy dog can stand at your door, get everything you got and growl every time you don't like it and you're afraid that he'll bite you, he'll just stay right there. Just like a visitor we had this evening. The neighbor's cat come down and Betty was fixing me some supper, so the neighbor's cat got a good whiff of some tuna fish and just leaped up on the table and helped itself. Well, after the cat ate out of the bowl, I didn't care to eat out of it, so he got it all. He was a smart cat. That's what the world calls him. I believe you understand what I'm trying to say. All right, now I believe, brethren, that we can do something. Now that's my conviction. I really believe from my heart that we can do something. If we'll get up together, stand together, we're just a little folk. I know that. I know we're little people. I understand that. Just a little group of people. But the Bible said, go to the ant, ye sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Said she's a little people, but she lays up in the summer for the winter, and she works together. One little ant carries a little bit, another little ant carries a little bit. Soon him multiplying, he got 50 ants, you know. And 100 ants and 1,000 ants. And like the termites, they get in under a foundation, and the first news you know, they're coming out on the inside of the house. And you can't stop them. And we can tear down the kingdom of Satan if we will work together. We can be about our Father's business. Now I want to read just a little bit here. And I want to talk with you. I'm not going to try to preach at you. I might holler at you a little bit. But I want to talk with you just a little bit. And I want you to listen real close to what I'm saying. In Revelation 12, it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Most all of us are familiar with Revelation 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, the woman that was clothed with the sun here. It said that the moon was under her feet. There was a crown of 12 stars upon her head. It says here that she was ready to be delivered of a man-child. At the same time, there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. It goes on to say that he took his tail and drew a third part of the stars and cast them down to the earth. I'm just going over this a little to refresh it to your minds. He stood before the woman, ready to deliver the child as soon as it was born. She brought forth her son, and he was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. There at the same time was a place in the wilderness, it tells us here, it was prepared for the woman. 1,260 days. Now I want you to look at this. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accused of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Goes on to say they overcame him by the blood of a lamb. Now, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, we're told down a little further, because he's among you. Said when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now he was first after the man-child. Then when the man-child escaped by being caught up a little higher into heaven, then the woman become his prey. He began to try to persecute her and cause her trouble. Cast the flood of waters after, caused her all the problem he could. But the earth opened up and swallowed up the flood, which to me is an evidence that the grave is going to be a helper in the time of this woman's trouble, because waters mean people. And if the grave opens up, or the earth in the form of a grave, through plagues and epidemics and all kind of things, and begin to swallow up this power of opposition, it will become an aid to the woman. It will be God killing them out. Went on to make war with the remnant of his seed, those that keep the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's obvious here that these that was persecuted, being the remnant of her seed, had the testimony of Jesus Christ. Which makes a little bit of difference when you consider the Jews. Is that right? Now, I want you to listen for a few minutes, and I'm just going to try to talk with you. But this is one thing I want you to understand, folks. I cannot give you anything unless you hunger and thirst. You got to concentrate on what I'm telling you. You got to have an interest when you come into church. You've got to have some kind of interest to sit there and not resent, not find fault. Because if you're resenting and finding fault, or got your mind on the world or somebody else or some kind of problem, a melancholy or sex or whatever you've got your mind on, that means that your spirit is on that, because your mind is your spirit. And it means that your spirit and mind isn't on what I'm telling you, or isn't on the Spirit of God. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then I can't bring anything to you. I can't do it. It's impossible. There's no way. The woman drawed the virtue out of the body of Christ by faith and by concentrating on what God said. No doubt there was many people around Jesus that day, but they probably was arguing with each other. Some were saying, I don't believe he's the Messiah. Some said, maybe he is the Messiah. How do you know? And they had their minds everywhere, fussing and fighting, finding fault, all kind of things. But the little woman got her mind on what Jesus was saying. And when she got her mind on that spirit that was speaking, her spirit connected with that spirit, and her spirit began to draw the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God began to minister to her needs, and she was healed. And the rest of them didn't get anything. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can have one person to come around me, sit down, mean business, be sweet and not resentful, and begin to draw the Spirit of God. And we will talk about revelation sometimes for hours. That is the truth. Some of them could come around me, and they're so much of a baby and melancholy and got their feelings on their shoulders and resent me as a person and resent me if I raise my voice or resent me if I speak about anybody, start judging me and evaluating me and thinking, well, he shouldn't have said that or he should have said that. I get like a worm on a hot rock. I'm ready to leave. I don't even want to be in the presence. I get to where I don't even go around them. Somebody says, well, I'm glad I got God. You better watch out. You might wake up and find out he doesn't even come around you. Somebody said, where do you get that? The Bible said, if they receive you, they receive me. If they don't receive you, I won't be there. Now, so when we come here, folks, many multiplied times I come here, and I'm so weary in my body, but I'm just filled with the revelation of God, and I desire so much to share with you. But because you won't draw, that is, concentrate, mean business, just sit there half-hearted, that I can't even get into the Spirit. I can't even get into the anointing. I can't even tell you anything. Because, see, there's no connection between your spirit and my spirit. I can't touch you. I can't reach you. Like Brother Branham so many times, he said, I take every spirit here under my control. Ain't but one way he could do that, and that's for the people to be willing to submit to him. Then he could feed them. The others that was not willing to submit to him, the only way that he could take their spirit under his control is to bind the demons and devils that were sitting out there to where they couldn't interfere. But there's got to be somebody in the group that's hungry. Somebody in the group that's drawing. Somebody that wants something. Otherwise, you'll never get anything from God. Like tonight, there's not any real drawing here, any real hunger. You're just here. That's it. Now, I feel a little more now than I did about 15, 20 minutes ago. 15 or 20 minutes ago, there wasn't even enough to, there wasn't hardly anything here. But I feel a little more concerned. But I say this, that you will never know that you are bypassing the day of your visitation, and when the day of your visitation is over, you can look for it anywhere you want to go, but you will not find it. Somebody say, well, I'll go to Brother Terrell, I'll go to Brother Roberts, I'll go here, I'll go there. That's fine, that's good. But the same God that's in my heart is in the other preacher's heart if he's a God preacher. And you are not going to get anything. He may jump, he may holler, he may scream, he may dance, he may prophesy, he may do all of those things. But you'll never get the revelation of Jesus Christ like that. I challenge any preacher in the world or any laity in the world, and I'll stand face to face with him. If you bring him here, I challenge him to prove to me that you can get the things of God without hungering and thirsting. You might scream, you might roll, you might holler, you might shout till you sweat and your hair comes down and your shoes comes off, and you may go home raving about what kind of service you had and realize that all you done was get in the rain, that's all. You didn't get nothing. So, there's only one way, that is to be still and know that I'm God. And when you be still, you got to hunger and thirst and hear that small, still voice that is a voice of revelation that God brings forth. Now, we can skip rope and shoot marbles and jump and holler and beat tambourines. All that's good. A bunch of children do that. When they come out of the wilderness, they did that because they were the children of Israel. That is, the children of Jacob. You can do all that. We've done all of that. That's good. That's fine. But I made the statement, when the serpents got to biting them, they stopped that. Because that didn't satisfy. That's good. But there's a time, there's a change. Their solemn assemblies were good. They come together in their solemn assemblies. That was good for a while. Even getting together to fast, that was good for a while. But after a while, God said, I don't want no more of that either. So he finally told him, he said, the one thing I want is that you have the mind of Christ in that body. I made that body to put the God mind in it, so that it would learn to conform to the God mind and become a God member in the earth, to act like God, talk like God, look like God, be like God, believe like God, and be preserved eternally as God is by transformation. So then, that's where we are. Not very many going to get this because it's not too exciting. This isn't exciting to the flesh. See, this is where God drops off the parasites. Them folks that's so exciting that wanting to jump and holler and run and get into all these things like a football game or something, this is where they drop off. See, there's no interest. There's no interest. That's to the carnal mind. There's no interest. But them that can ever get one taste of this, I mean really see what's going on, they will never go back to anything anymore. Never. Somebody say, what makes you believe that? Because I happen to be one of them that's got a taste of it, and I've never wanted to go back anymore. Now, and you can believe that if I'm a preacher, I could run and jump and holler just like you or anybody else. I could turn cartwheels. I could whip up the organ. I could take every dime you got. I could set up a big tent, invite the singers and the people and everything, and get the ladies and just cater to the ladies, you know, and tell the ladies, just prophesy my daughter this and my daughter that, and you get that husband under control because you're some kind of precious thing, and get her all tore up and their home all tore up, and 5,000 women straying along after me across the nation somewhere, and have big tent meetings and just have a hoopy of a time. Let them dress like they want to and do like they want to and everything else, sure. And then when the men folk come along, not requiring nothing out of them, let them be a bunch of lust devils just everywhere and do what they want to, as long as they know that God told me tonight they're supposed to put in a $20 bill. Just sweep over the air, sure. Because the world loves its own. But folks, the church of God has no such customs and practices. This is something that God is trying to do. That move is gone. It's gone. That's what I'm wanting to talk to you about a few minutes tonight. That's gone. When they got down to the Red Sea, that was fine. When they crossed over the Red Sea, they had a jamboree, a gospel jubilee. That's right. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, you don't have no gospel jubilees. Well, that's what they had in the Old Testament. It was called the year of jubilee. It was a gospel jubilee. That's what Pentecost was. So they had them a gospel jubilee. You understand what I'm saying? But things change when the devils begin to come in. The sickness, the sorrows, the heartaches, the woes. I can get up here and dance and holler and shove you down and say, amen, God bless you. You're healed, my sister. And I can put you in a casket 2 days later, and I can come back and shove somebody else down. Just keep on going. Get people excited, they believe anything. Like the case of Brother Oral Roberts, showing it on television. You follow me? Prayed for a lady, she was supposed to be healed. They had a rerun. It was a good while later, and the same lady was dead. And while the lady was dead and in the grave, they were having the rerun of the film how she'd been healed under Oral Roberts' prayers. She'd been healed all right, she was dead and in the grave. But as far as the world was concerned, the people, she'd been healed. Many, many cases like that. Now you say, well, some folks get healed. I know they do. I know they get healed. But God, it is God's will that we all be healed. The Bible said that all should come to repentance. All should have everlasting life. All should be healed. All should be well. Is that right? Now, that's God's will. Now here, I want you to see this. Because I'm just going to talk to you. I'm not going to try to preach to you. I'm just going to talk to you and try to drop in a few thoughts. I can see already that I'm not going to get to say what I had on my heart to say, because I had a number of things here I wanted to express to you tonight that really been a benefit to you in Revelation. This woman was standing on the moon. Now, there was something about to take place. There was a great leader about to come forth that was going to rule the entire world. This great leader wasn't going to rule the world by request, but the Bible said he was going to take a rod of iron And he was going to rule by a rod of iron, not a request, but by a rod of iron. Somebody would say, well, God is love, Brother Pike. I know God is love. But the Bible says in the millennium that God will demand that they do what he wants them to do, or else God will see that they don't even as much as eat. God is tired, weary, worn with this thing of grace, of pleading and begging. God's weary of that. He was glad to give you grace. He wanted to give you grace because the people needed grace. They didn't understand. They were feeble. They didn't have any knowledge of God. God wanted to be merciful to them. And so he gave them grace by spilling his own blood at Calvary. But now, God doesn't want to give them grace. You say, why? Because they are not ignorant people. They are not poor, helpless people. They are selfish, rebellious, contrary. They know right from wrong. God was glad to give Israel grace as long as Israel didn't understand. But when Israel got to knowing and understanding God's will and got contrary and mumbled and grumbled against Moses and everything that God tried to get them to do, the Bible said he lifted his grace and he cut them off. And he said to us that this was written for your admonition, ye upon whom the ends of the world have come, I cut them off to show you what I would do to you. Is that right? I cut off a nation back there to show you that I would cut off the entire world if they followed the same example. And of course they've done the very same thing. Here the woman, which is the miracle, I say again, I don't have to go through these things, you got it on tape. But I just have to refresh your mind on a few of them to bring out my thoughts. Here America, having her foot on the moon, right here her great Superman ready to be born. I made the statement that Kissinger was headed for a world government. Just recently he made the statement, since they won't put him out of the White House, that what the world needed was a world government. Brother Tommy, you was telling me you heard him make the statement. And that he was going to see if he couldn't arrange it. Not only that, but here in Atlanta, Georgia, is the place that Kissinger turned to. Whereas Brother Bill said that Washington was one of the places that was looked like it was going to fall. Now, I don't know where he meant Washington State or Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. If it's Washington, D.C., that would fit just fine. Because that means that the government would be over. I made the statement. I said that the thing that hit New York City is going to ruin Washington, D.C. A lot of you don't pay too much attention to what I say. It's just a passing statement, and you don't never know whether I said it or didn't say it. But I said that New York City's fall would ruin Washington, D.C. And that the government would shift. And that's exactly what it's got to do. Because there is no government unless there's money. The Bible speaks in the end time of men despising government. I wondered why men would despise the government. Said in the last days there'll be despisers of government. Why do they despise government? Because the government has become corrupt. It's stealing every dollar that the people make. It's become a great monstrous parasite, a great mechanical device to rob and to kill and to imprison. And people hate it. Jesus said that would happen in the last days. It's obvious that this is the last days, folks. Something's taking place. He warned us at that time. He said, you pray. Don't pray tonight and tomorrow, the next day. He said, you pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape them things that's coming on the earth. How many of you know there's some things that's coming on the earth? They're already coming on the earth. Ever since 1960, things have really been coming on the earth. The American government went out in 1960 when Kennedy come in. It went out, folks. And all it has, that this little lapse of time from 1960 over to now, only is just the winding up and the changing over of the things that was to take place. I spoke of a threefold unfolding or a going out of the government. I said, old Roberts, he fell away. William Branham, he died, got killed. I said, the last one will be Billy Graham. Over here, Billy finally gave up and said that he felt like 76 was the end of things. So he told him he was through. You can go back to the year of 60. I've got this on tape somewhere where I explained it. But you can go back to the year of 60 and take a three-step or dimensional unfolding, and you'll find that that thing will run in 3.5 years, right on down to the end of time, right on down. It'll run right on down. It'll unfold 3 times because the number 777 is God's number, where 666 is man's number, which is the beast. And from 60 over, you just followed on down to about 63. Find Kennedy getting killed. The deadly wound. The ecumenical council started. It kept lasting until it got on down to about 66. Right there, and the ecumenical council stopped. By that time, it had killed William Branham as far as being typical of the Protestant government. It was gone. And in 66, Johnson, the Pope got together, and everything was just cozy. You remember that? You understand? He said that America had a Pope. In other words, when the ecumenical council was finished, the deadly wound was healed. Now, the thing unfolded in 3.5 years. In 63, it had to do with this very meeting that we're fixing to have up here. My brother Charles passed away. In passing on to meet God, he represented a going out of the government that was to be reinstated later. The church dropped out when the ecumenical council come in 63. Charles went out. That's why that we're having the meeting at Lake Charles. That's what it has to do with. The resurrection. Even at that time, when Brother Branham prayed for my brother, over the telephone, he come out of the wilderness of Kentucky. And he told me, he said, take the handkerchief you got, Brother Pike, which had to do with the mantle and the changeover. For he'd been in the wilderness just like Elijah, seeking God. And I'd made the statement that his ministry was coming on to a close, coming fast. Saw it in the early part of 65. Even the death of Brother Branham coming around in 65. We was talking about it today. Had to do with that 65 bus that they went after. Now, my brother Charles and the handkerchief, the death there at Mississippi, the River Jordan in his tie, going up to the moon at that very time. I remember that. Right after that, they shot the rocket up to the moon. How do you remember the year they landed on the moon? See, in other words, when they landed on the moon, it was right at the time of the crossing over. They brought back the stones from the moon, as I've told you before. Brought them back, typical of Joshua crossing the River Jordan. For when they crossed the River Jordan, went into the New World, they took the stones and put them there as a memorial. How are you paying attention to what I say? How do you know what Houston had to do with the death of Brother Branham and with the moonstones? And the Church of Christ moving out of Tennessee down to that area. The moonstones were brought back. Typical that man had at last crossed the great place of Jordan between this world and the other world. Now, why did God let that happen at that particular time? Because the revelation of Jesus Christ had started its move and was supposed to pick it up at the Mississippi River and to carry it over, having to do with the death of Martin Luther King. We can't go into all that, but somewhere on tape we got bits of it here and bits of there. You can place it together. I'm just relating some of this to get over to what I want to bring up today. I have to do this to get your minds in a stream before I can ever get you into the new part. So then the woman with a foot on the moon, doing all this time. Brother Branham said, take the handkerchief. Charles, my brother died, poisoning, uremic poisoning. That time was to continue on until this hour where we go over to Missouri. Brother Taylor can tell you the time that he made connection with us, the time of the death of Kennedy in Dallas, the death of the great whore, the wounding of the head, because they eventually found out that the man shot him because of his wife. He was a filthy man. You understand? It's horrible what he did in his lifetime. And yet he was our president. But anyway, even the little glass slipper, I made the statement, I said, if I understood God right, and I say that a lot of times for the benefit of some of the skeptics, I said, then the slothfulness of W.V. Grant's printers was because God has made allowance so that the little book would be ready at the time of this meeting. Now, that was a big statement because there's a lot of times lapse in there. And with all those months lapsing when he said he'd have it ready in 2 or 3 weeks, and then to say it would be ready at this time, that sounds wild. But nevertheless, I thought yesterday, I said, now God, he mentioned my wife. I said, God, I said, according to what I understood, the book was to be ready. I said, I'm fixing to leave to go up yonder to the meeting, and the book ain't come back. I ain't heard nothing on it. So today I got the letter from Dallas, they said the little book is ready. Right here, just as we get ready to go up there. Just like the Lord said, the little glass slipper. Now, in that God told me that that little book had to do with this move. Kennedy was killed over in Dallas. Brother Branham's death, that was his ministry, the voice of healing. And the resurrection from the dead was when Brother Bill came in here from Dallas. Sister Mary and Brother Bill. Coming in from Dallas, if you understand what I mean. Coming in from Dallas as Brother Branham in the resurrection. Coming back, Bill, they used to call him Bill. Coming back, and anybody that would have met Bill over here in this little room would have known that there had been a resurrection with Bill. Because he must have been dead. Because he sure was alive when he come into that room. Brother Bill and Brother Michael today went up to Charlotte, went up there with intentions, going to the Queen City, with intentions to bring back a trailway bus. That had a great significance because I read to you that the time that the man child was to come, that Michael would stand for his people. You know how that Brother Michael came in here and has so firmly took a stand to try to do everything possible for you with everything that he had, his strength and everything, his substance and all. Are you listening to me now? They were going to get a trailway. The trailway was a silver eagle. They thought it was a golden eagle. Said it was a silver eagle, which goes back to the priesthood. God, let us at this time get interested in the trailway. If you'll concentrate and believe for a few minutes, I'll bring this thing out as clear as a picture to you, and you'll see it. Now, I won't be able to bring it out to you because it would take 2 or 3 hours to do it, and you're not going to sit still that long. But I'll bring out some of it to where you can see what we're trying to tell you. God is a spirit. Everything is hid, folks. It's in another dimension. You can't have it in your carnal mind, because the Spirit of God is the only thing that knows the things of God, and the things of God knows God's Spirit. It don't know your mind and your spirit. So if you stay in your spirit and mind, you'll never get it. You'll never know where God's at, when God's moving, what time of day it is with God. You'll always be at enmity by being carnally minded. God is a spirit. Divine perception through the enlightening of your understanding by the revelation of Christ. You comprehend the depths and height of the mind of God that it might translate you and see where you're living. Alright? The silver eagle. This bus has to do with the bus that we first purchased, which was the Greyhound. Now, you know what the Greyhound represented. You remember the cut on my arm. How do you remember the cut on my arm? You remember the little cross in my window, the cut on the arm, the pyramid piece of land that we purchased at that time. Bringing back the Greyhound, it had to do with the Gentiles because it was a dog, Greyhound. You remember what it had to do with in the closing out of the Gentiles and how that this thing has dropped into about 3.5 years. In its first part, run it down from 60 and you'll see what I'm telling you. About 3.5 years since the thing started to unfolding, which had to do with little brother Steve over at Kentucky, Brother Branham's birthplace back in there, at Elizabethtown, which takes it back to Brother Branham, John the Baptist, Kentucky, and so forth. That was little brother Steve Epley. You remember the kinsman shoes, Boaz, the place we stayed and all those things, just like the little glass slipper. That was the beginning of it back there. Brother Ted King. Little brother Steve, anybody knows that he's the walking word in a sense. He preached for me one night and he quoted scripture for about an hour from the time he started till the time he stopped. Steve had the little place called the Bride of Christ. We was under the little tent out here to begin with. Brother Ted King come along. You know, I spoke of him setting the tent, how that he would do it. He did. That tent was set right down the hill from the little old Bride of Christ, where the mosquitoes were so terrible right there near that little old branch, which had to do with the wilderness. I preached a message. From that, we went into the little old church. It was called the Bride of Christ. A little old bitty place like the Holies of Holies, a little old bitty place. And then they'd already built another wall around it because it's going to tear down the inside part, which perfectly fit what God was doing. And I preached the message on perfection inside the little thing that was the Holies of Holies in its time. After that, they tore it down, went to the outer part. You follow me? See, the tent in the wilderness, the outer courts here, the little circle around the inner courts, and then the holies of holies. Now you say, what does that have to do with it? That was the beginning of it. The Greyhound went over there. It had to do with it. 3.5 years of it. Then it connected with Brother Nolan. You remember that? Because Nolan connected with Missouri, Kenneth, Missouri. New York. Kenneth, Missouri, New York. And then down to Florida, had the Flaming Cherub program going on to the garden, which is over here in Florida. You know Florida's a garden. The connection was, that was to be the dog, the Gentile. The end of it was not to be Steve Epley, but Steve Epley's father, which is David Epley, which has to do with the end of it up here in Missouri where we're going to, which is the changeover, going to the farther part of it, which has to do with the trailway, the Silver Eagle, the next bus. You say, why a trailway, Brother Pye? Whether we get one or not, it has nothing to do with it. The connection's already been made to the Queen City. Now, we was talking today. Why a trailway? A number of reasons. Michael standing for his people. Brother Bill, Brother Branham's resurrection. Going up to heaven, the Queen City. Making contact with Virginia that's looking for us a bus now, the Virgin. That is perfect for them to look for us a bus in Virginia, because I said it had to do with Brother Harberger down in Miami, Florida, which gave us a bus in Virginia when he prophesied at Ensign 10, lifting up the ensign of the people. He's down there where the angel of God appeared to us in Miami. Right at this time, the bus he gave us, we never did get a school bus having to do with the children crossing the Jordan. Over in Virginia, the bus is still sitting there. We are due recognition concerning a bus from Virginia. Even Brother James's little son that had to wreck had to do with it. If I could drop this right in without losing you, how many of you try to listen? Even has to do with the trip to Israel. And the Jew that's wanting to come over here now. Had to do with the Dead Sea. Isaac, the promised son, Brother James, Tarts, dropping the tracks of faith in. I told you about it being a representation of the Jews. At this very time, his son had a wreck. Three people in the car. All of them 24 years old. Just had put the woman out, which was the wife of one of them. His son in the middle. They had a wreck running to a rock wall. Now, are you going to listen now? When I try to drop these in on the side, you get shaky and run around like, I'm done lost my mind, you done lost yours, and we don't know what we're saying. That cuts the spirit. I know exactly what I'm saying. If you'll pay attention, listen, concentrate, don't be a baby, we'll just take it off. I can reach over here and get run out on a limb, come back, take you right on. When you get leery, that's where the trouble comes in. It throws a fog up out there in the middle wall of petition. I can't get to the others out there. You understand what I'm saying? Brother James Tarnch had to do with this thing. Now listen. His boy had a wreck. One of them was killed, which was sitting on one side. One was sitting on the other side, was not hurt. James Tarnch's boy sitting in the middle was injured, going through the suffering right now as Christ and the two thieves. That means Brother James is doing the suffering because it's his boy. James, the promised son, Jesus. How many of you listen to what I'm saying? It has to do with the new world. Because the boy is going to change his life. He's already doing it, bringing him into a new world. You see it? Say, how did it have to do with the new world? Because he was in a Plymouth and he hit a rock. You see anything? That's where the new world came in. Now you that's spiritual understand what I'm saying. It is so connected with the new world and the landing of America, which is Canaan, in its type, that the boy is to be operated on the very first night of our meeting. And our meeting is a three-day thing. The crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. You follow me? The boy is going through the suffering. Brother James will be there, the promised son. How do you understand what I'm saying? Brother J.T. Parnell, Brother Cleveland, coming out of Kentucky. I can't go through all of it step by step. It'd take all night long. But I can drop in enough thoughts that you can ask the Lord to fit it together and understand what I'm saying. Brother Cleveland coming over, the cleaving in halves, coming back from Israel, in the, to the Jew first, the Mount of Olivet, the Mount of Transfiguration over there. These kind of things concerning what I said about Pat Boone and the sunset, Brother Branham, the stars among the stars, the woman on the moon and so forth, concerning the baptism with the lights and those kind of things that has to do with Missouri, the gateway of the West. Zebulun Pike and the different ones establishing the trade of the West to the East. See, in other words, it was the place of redemption. Over here in the west, they would trap. Over here in the east, they would purchase. The purchased possession. You follow me? The east and the west. The gateway to the west, the woman going to Azusa Street in the first revival. The gateway to the east, going down to Florida, pointing toward Brother Harberger in the gateway of the east on the second revival. Having to do with praying around those eastern gates and things. Also had to do with that Jewish man that is of the line of the tribe of Judah. Over there, we would say it that way, the house of David. You'll see that it does. Now, had to do with Ricky coming in. I spoke here a while back of Ricky coming in. Ever since I said that, he's been straggling in and out. Couldn't get his balance. Finally, he got in and made up his mind he was going to try to serve the Lord. Has to do with Becky, his wife, which is Brother JT. Over here, the woman in the wilderness coming in. Brother Branham's followers. They're striking oil up there all around that area. The sleeping virgins right at this time. You understand what I'm saying? Brother JT's vision, the prophecy of the resurrection of Brother Branham. Brother Red's resurrection of Brother Branham, what he saw, those kind of things. All right, now listen real close. I'll try to say what I can here tonight as long as you listen for a little while. So then the bus trailway, you know, is red and white, like a fiery chariot sweeping down out of heaven, coming down from that way, from Virginia, in the tide, picking up the dead. Elijah's catching away. Brother Branham, Michael, Brother Bill. How do you understand what I'm saying as I try to come back? Why would it be the silver eagle? Because his followers, Brother Bill driving it like Brother Branham, his followers, the woman in the wilderness, are carried into the wilderness on the wings of an eagle. Didn't say silver eagle, but on the wings of an eagle. We was talking today, strangely enough, if you purchase one of them, the first thing they do is take the wings off of it. Why would that be? If Brother Branham died in 65, that would be his death. If that was the death, then the wings would come off to show the end of the priesthood in that part. The changeover. That it wouldn't be used as a trailway among the natural people. That's a revival to the world when Moses was out there with them in the intellectual part. The pillar of fire. They even have to change the color of the bus. Are you paying attention now? Those buses represent, at this time, the carrying away of the woman into the wilderness. Now, on the wings of an eagle. Brother Michael going up, those buses are made over in Brussels. Are you listening? Brother Mike taking the Lincoln. The Lincoln goes back to Jesus. You follow me? It is an anniversary car. It is a silver car. Goes back to the priesthood. It is a mark that goes back to the mark of the beast. Mark 4. The mark of the beast with the car. The trailway made in Brussels, which is the head of the beast. Now, how are you paying attention to me? The woman, which is the church, in the midst of the tribulation period, when the child is born, the woman with a foot on the moon, the woman in the midst of the tribulation, sealed in, for a time's time and a half a time, it would take about 7 years to pay for that bus, according to the way they would figure it. It would probably about $350 a month. That would be the tribulation period again. The woman sealed in the midst of it. Sealed, while there was a place prepared for her, right in the midst of the mark of the beast. Right in the midst of the tribulation. Right in the midst of the whole thing. A place prepared for her. For a time's time and a half a time. Alright? In Brussels, that is where they esteem Michael. For they got a cigarette company over there, and Michael, the angel, is in big picture forms all over the place, casting the devil down with his foot on him, showing those cigarettes. And that comes from Brussels. And Michael going up there with Bill. Are you listening? Even the billboards being connected with it, being at the American screen, because out of America, the spiritual part, the woman with the foot on the moon, the picture that is on the billboards was made down in Titusville, Florida. And I spoke of Titus plowing the field like a, or the city like a field, you remember? And we're in the 70s. It was 70 AD. The picture was taken by Brother David Paul of his mother and I, standing right beside the great rocket. The one that's on the billboard is just over from the rocket, right there at the motel where we was, with our backs toward the launching pad. The rapture of this message going out to the world in a quick short work on billboards all over the country, caught up, went up into the plane, was supposed to go at 12 o'clock, which had to do with the midnight cry. The rapture, the catching up, to be posted over there to show the resurrection of my brother Charles, which is the coming forth of the saints that went out in 63 because the ecumenical council come in as a killer. So then, it was to extend over. All the way over onto this particular thing. Brother David Epley, he has to do with the spiritual end of it. His little son had to do with the word end of it. The Jesus and the Christ. The Jesus part is the law part. You know how strict he is on the radio. The word, always the word. But Brother Epley, he's very lenient. You can do any way you want to. He just says the Spirit. He says the Spirit of Brother Branham's come back on him. And I made a statement, Brother Branham dead, Jesus dead, Christ coming back. Grace on the people. Let him do anyway. But this shows the lifting of the anointing off of David Epley, which means the closing of the Gentile age, which means the going up of the billboards concerning the rapture of the church, which billboards will tell about the camp meeting of Little Bethlehem, which camp meeting is on the 4th of July when the government of the United States goes out and the new government comes in, which is the man-child being caught up to the mind of God to rule with a rod of iron, Little Bethlehem. The fiscal year of the government begins and stops with the last of June, which means the bride gone out 4 days, then the fireworks. You follow what I'm saying? Which is the independence. All right, now, even Brother David Allen's cleaners has to do with it, the American cleaners. I told him, all of a sudden, they're trying to tie the bridge, make his place be at a dead end, see America at a dead end. And it turned at this time. All right, now, the washing of regenerations, the laundry and so forth. I think I spoke of that one time. How many of you are you following me in anything I'm saying here? Now I'm just scattering about a little bit here to try to. I'd love to just pick it up, went right through it and got the particulars on it. It's so beautiful. But anyway, it is evident that this is why that Satan is fighting the way that he's fighting in everything that we've tried to do to this meeting. Because, as I said, the handkerchief, the resurrection of Charles, if he gave the handkerchief and it was the changeover, then at the changeover, the handkerchief was lost. The lost and the found. But if now we are over to the point of resurrection, the mantle that was lost with the death of Brother Branham, that is to say, the Jews cast out of the presence of God and the mantle lost to the Gentiles in the sense, that is in the early days of the Bible, they by force took the covenant. The Gentiles has taken the kingdom of God to themselves. It suffered violence by the hand of force. Follow me? But with grace, it was lost into the hands of Satan. He took control of it. The life of God, which is within the vessel, which is the ark. But now it is to be restored because it was stolen from Israel, which is the head, and that is to say spiritual Israel. And it goes back to Israel as the head of the nation. With the closing out of the Gentiles in this year, which is the battle on the other end of the casting out of Satan, when grace lifts off of those people that's coming in there for that great camp meeting. Because they're fixing to have a great camp meeting in their time. You know, we go up there, the gathering of Gog and Magog against those that are going up there, this little group. You follow me? They'll be coming in from everywhere. From 60 over to 81. I made the statement. I said, according to what I understand, the trouble is to be around about 80. Really, 81. Because from 60 to 81, your seven goes three times. Daniel, 21 days. Then he broke through. 7 years. Then seven more years. You come 7 years from the 3.5 years. From 60, the death of Kennedy, right on down to the ecumenical councils finishing up in 66. Right there, the locusts came up out of the earth. The hippies, the long hair, the women like, the stings, the needles, troubles, heartaches, the beginning of sorrows, the hell's angels, everything. Epidemics, tornadoes, wars, problems. Oppression, trouble, the beginning of sorrows. Everything at the death of Brother Branham looked like it just has been turned loose. Seven, three times. 3 and 7 is 21 from 60 over to 81. Then what did the scientists say? The scientist is expecting the planets to line up in 82. Finishing your 777. And I said in 80, not knowing nothing about science. And then scientists come along with a confirmation that they say in 80 that all of the planets will line up. And that the catastrophe that will happen, if you'll check it out, it goes right back and shows the very thing, same things that was happening in tribulation. Scientists points it out, the things that will happen. It's identically what Revelation said would take place. I made the statement the lights would be well on their way out by 70. From 70 dropping down to 73, Brother Branham spoke of everything going out in 77. It is America. And I said his followers are not going to understand what happened in 73. The rapture thing was to take place. It set in, just like I said, going up to Steve Epley's up here. I said it's going to be a spiritual thing. Brother Branham said it passed right through them. They wouldn't know it. It started in that 3.5 year trend. Right there in 63, just like we said it would. It dropped in there, it moves right on through there, and here we are down here at 66. You follow me? On the next lap of it, with 66.5, because it falls right in the middle of the year. Why does it fall in the middle of the year? to make it 3 years and 6 months. It'd have to do that. So then if it falls here at the change of the government, then the next 3.5 years lapse takes over. See where that will put you to. You follow what I'm saying? It will get you over to 80. You follow it in 3.5 year lapse, 3 times 7, and it'll run right on over. Come into the year 77, it will come right on over to 81. Is that right? How many can figure it up and see that that's true? Is that figure right? So then, even scientists confirms the fact that what we said is true. The confirmation of it. I'm going to say this and try to close. Even this very day, I said, Lord, you're holding up those billboards so that you can bring them up in the middle of the week. And I was baffled today when they couldn't find him, when he said he's lost on the plane. I had to go home and lay down, try to find out what was going on. Then I got a report that they were up. But see, Wednesday, you go back to the middle of the week. And I hadn't even thought about it. But Brother Bucky reminded me today. I said, today's April the 7th. April the 7th. I was trying to find out what the Lord was telling me. And Brother Bucky was talking, said, do you know that today was Brother Branham's birthday, April the 7th? Well, that would be just perfect. The catching up of the man-child, the pictures at Titusville, the rapture, the birth of Brother Branham, the man-child, going up, the coming back of what we was looking for would be just exactly perfect for the meeting. Have you understand what I'm saying? So then it is a wonderful thing. Brother JT's coming over from the birthplace of Brother Branham, right over there around the birthplace. He's wanting us to have a meeting together over there now at the birthplace. I don't know whether you see anything or not, but there's several things I'm looking at. And every one of them looks to me like that God is in the arrangements. So I'm saying that with this meeting and Brother Cleveland being there, it has to do with the redemption of the body. It has to do with the publication of Brother Branham's little book the other day, Total Deliverance, where he said if we'd stick together. I want you to stand with me now. These few little things that we're speaking of, whereas I would like to get into some things and tie them in together. I would like to get into some dimensions on the mystery of the keys. The number of dimension on the mysteries of the keys when Jesus had the keys to death and hell. Maybe I will. We spoke of it casually when we was up yonder at Utica. But it's a beautiful thing because them keys are somewhere. And the fellow that's got them, it's worthwhile to him. So I'd like to. Maybe sometimes we can. But right at this point, this is what it shows. I'll say this much, if I never do get to preach on them. I'll say this much. That when Jesus come up from the grave and he said, I got the keys to hell and I got the keys to death. And then later and turned and said, Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom. When we speak plural, more than one. And then when they said, Jesus said to the scribes, you have taken away the key to knowledge. We made the statement that the beginning of wisdom was to fear God. The fear of the people gone. And I made this statement, and I make it to you tonight, that when you got the keys to hell, and you got the keys to death, one key to hell, one key to death, that means if you can unlock them, there's one other key, and it takes the two, along with the other part in a Trinity constitution, if we went into the mystery of the keys. But there's one other key, and that is the key to life. When they are put together, that is the keys to the kingdom. So there is something in that is beautiful. It's wonderful. If you can unlock hell, and you can unlock death, then you won't have to worry about life. It'll take care of itself. So then the church has those keys tonight. If they can find them, recognize them, the scribes and the Pharisees has tried to hide them. Let's sing a little chorus tonight, and maybe someday, if the Lord be willing, we will be able to, read this, Brother Taylor, we will be able to find out something about the mystery of the keys. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that's really something, isn't it? See, tomorrow's my anniversary and our picture going up over there. See, that's tomorrow after the Sabbath. Yeah, leaving in the anniversary car. You love the Lord? Okay, of course, the Lincoln goes back to the regathering of the Jews. Michael standing for his people. Let's sing a little chorus together. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Can you sing it with me? Oh, don't turn him away. Again, so let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause. Eternal day. Oh, listen to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him for all of you to come down to the altar just a few minutes tonight. I'm not going to hold you. Just come on down to the altar. There has never been a day like the day that we're living in. Never. All of the history of the world, has there ever been a day like this day? I know that you feel unworthy, and I feel unworthy, and we are unworthy. But I'm glad that even though John wept much, he said that nobody in heaven and earth was found worthy to open the book and loose the seals to look thereon. Then a voice cried out and said, "Weep not, John. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book." And I'm glad that Jesus has loosed the book, loosed the seals. And tonight we're able to look into them. When Joshua crossed over the Jordan, marched around the walls of Jericho 7 times, the walls of Jericho failed. Isn't that right? And if Jordan had to do with Calvary, and those walls had to do with the walls of resistance, of humanity, carnality, And if those seven trips around had to do with the seven church ages, if Calvary is the Jordan, then on this side, we've marched around seven times. The church ages are coming to an end. At the end of that, for the first time, they found a unified endeavor. And then all of them shouted together. When they all came into unity and shouted together, the walls crumbled to the ground. This is a quick work cut short in righteousness where God will bring a unity when He gathers all of His people into the mind of Christ. They will see eye to eye, speak the same thing, shout together, and when they do, the walls of Jericho will crumble. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord did Joshua say, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, shall be free. Sing it again. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord did Joshua say, for on the other side of Jordan,